This is CN's review of season 3 of Watchers. Like all the prior seasons before, I said, this will be the last year. and of course it wasn't. But I knew in season 3, I wanted a different big bad. I wanted something that, you know, was tougher than the Presidium. I literally wanted heaven and hell to clash in the world, so how could we achieve that? And I thought, let's just have heaven and hell clash in the world. So, everything this season was built up to lead to this thrilling conclusion. I had this great idea of what I wanted to do. I wanted to destroy cities, and I wanted to kill Faith, and I wanted to do all these you know, really neat, cool things. I had all these ideas of what I was going to write. And it turns out I didn't really get to write it. I had other things that I had to be doing at the time. This was actually the year that my father passed away. And when I started the season, I never would have imagined that by the end of the season that my dad would be dead. And that's one of the things that's so perplexing about life, is that you really don't know what is going to come before and after. And when I was going through this, we were in the final stages of, I had just finished Shalmer, and we were in the final stages of doing Megiddo. And I was organizing the acts, getting everything in order as to how they were going to be laid out. I started working on some of the scenes in particular that I know that I wanted to have done, and that's when I got the phone call from my mom saying that my dad was in the hospital. That week that I was supposed to be writing, I had gone to the staff, and this is testament to how wonderful of a staff that I truly have. I told them what was happening. I said, I still want to release this episode when we plan on releasing it, but I gotta have your guys' help. And all of them stepped up to the plate. I mean, every single writer on Watchers came forward and did something with Megiddo to make sure that we still made our deadline so that the fans weren't out there waiting for it because of my drama. but like I said, I knew that there were some scenes that I wanted to do. So when I spent my days looking after my mom and either going up to the hospital or going to the funeral home, those evenings I would come back and write. And actually, one of the scenes that I wrote was Faith's death scene. And it's almost surreal when you're writing about someone dying and you're dealing with someone dying right at that same moment. That's, you know, one of the things that the reader said is that, oh my gosh, it really seems so real. You know, I could really feel that for Faith. And that's why. Simply put, that's why. Is because, you know, everything that I was feeling as a daughter losing her father, that's the same feelings that I conveyed through this character. So people can say I Mary Sued to the ends of the earth. That's fine. But you know what? I think it worked in this case. You know, I took all those feelings of not wanting to go, not being ready, and put them into Faith. So that when Faith is there with Gabrielle at the very end of the season, and she's telling her, you know, I don't want to go. I'm not ready yet. I don't want to go. That was all very genuine. So everything good, or something good comes out of everything in a way. You know, you have to try to look at whether it's something small or something large. If I had a choice of having a wonderful episode or having my father, you bet I'd pick my dad. That wouldn't be, you know, even an issue. But since I don't have a choice in the matter, I didn't have a choice in the matter, what I was able to do was create something, particularly in this episode, that did touch people and did move the whole concept of Watchers in this season as a whole. But now that I've got the whole ending of that out of the way, this really was the first season since the very first season of Watchers that was my baby. For the most part, Chris Cook handled season two. I was still hands-on in all the episodes, but for the most part, I just let them, meaning all the writers that were there, kind of put together their ideas of what they wanted and tossed it together. This really was the first season that I went back to taking more of a hands-on approach into the season, because I knew that this well, I knew at the time this was going to be the last season, and so I wanted to put things together to really make it work. So when we did our brainstorming, we had all these different ideas, some that were, downright wacky, some that were just dreadfully awful as far as emotionally goes, great storytelling, but just really heavy stuff to deal with. So when we put all that together, I said, okay, here's how we can kind of plot it out, and I set up the episodes as I usually did, and where they were going to be, and then each year or each episode, kind of weaved through like I did every year, so that everything fit together, nicely with a big bow on top. As all the seasons passed, the first episode of the season I wrote, which was this season was Warzone. Now, also at the same time, personally, my business was finally starting to take off, so I had less and less time to devote to Watchers. So I had other people that I needed to actually do their episodes. It wasn't like season two where I had to write the first six, seven episodes, of my own, and then, be able to come back in and just, do tweaks. So this is what I had to do for this year. I knew that I wanted to do the first episode, and yeah, the first episode of season three really is my soapbox episode, where I kind of get into the situation with the Iraq War, what's happening in the world stage. And again, it's not so much just a soapbox episode, but it's also, like I said, it's mention of the world, because what we do in the end is we destroy the world. So we have our characters come back, and the dealing with a lot of the issues that were left hanging in season two. Giles is adjusting to parenthood, makes his decision that he's going to retire. Robin is dealing with the loss of a limb, and how he doesn't quite feel as adequate as he did before, which causes problems for him and Faith. Everybody kind of has their quirks and their struggles. We also have Xander and Vi, which are just starting their relationship with one another, and that's growing and blossoming. So there's a lot of things that are going on in this particular episode that sets the mark for the rest of the season. The very next episode was one that I've mentioned repeatedly, and you're probably going to be bored of hearing this. It's actually one of my favorite Watchers episodes. I try not to pick out particular episodes, because I do have favorite episodes from every writer throughout with us. But as a whole, I loved Maternal Instincts, and I love the way that when it opens, we see Faith with a small child who calls her mother, and you read that at first and you wonder, what the hell? Are we in some kind of alternate reality? What's happening here? And as the story progresses, we learn, more about Faith's history and the fact that, here's a woman that will stand down a demon, but she's scared of her past. She's scared of this child. That is something that she kind of put out of her head, that, she dealt with it, she's moved on, but now this child needs her. And it was a very interesting concept, and all the emotions and everything that Faith said and did throughout this episode, I think just it rings so true to Faith, and it would have been exactly what I would have done if I had had the chance to write it. I really wanted to write this episode so much, and I'm just so delighted with what Guff had done with it, that really, I couldn't have done it better. She really nailed it, and she was so nervous when this episode released, because she was always our Ethan writer. She liked Ethan. She had Ethan's voice down, so when I asked somebody, please, can you take this episode and do it, and she said, okay, well, I'll give it a go, And even up to the night that we were getting ready to release this episode, she was like, "Oh my gosh, this is a terrible episode. This is a terrible episode." And she just wouldn't listen to me. Believe it or not, my staff doesn't always listen to me. But I reassured her, the fans will like it. I love it. The staff loves it. Just wait and see. And even the fan reaction to it was beyond complimentary. They bought into it. It was an unbelievable concept that they were able to see, that they were able to realize that yes, this actually could happen. So we have faith as a mother. The other next episode that we had, I think, is the first episode that Dan wrote. I'm not sure, or is it, or did Drew write it? Drew wrote it. His first episode, Both Sides Now. It's the kind of quirky, in a particular way, but it also is very serious. There's dark parts. There's just it's really it's a Drew episode in the fact that you're not sure what to make of it, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Drew likes to do a lot of kind of misleads or quirky kind of stories that really are original, and this one in particular. He had mentioned, I think, that he didn't quite care for the way that it turned out, but I like it in particular, is because we see, all these. It has that feeling of the X-Files episode, if anyone's an X-Files fan, of where Scully is talking to this author. I believe this is the one that Charles Nelson Reilly was in, where they're describing events, and each person's description of what happened is so far removed because it's a matter of perspective. And that's one of the things that I really liked about this episode, is that it's a matter of perspective and what, people had seen and what they experienced. But really, one of the things that's, it ends rather sadly, that the fact that, the council's still growing. They're still trying to kind of find their footing. And they're not perfect. And that's one of the things that I really like about this season in particular, is that they are trying to grow and change and get better at what they're doing. Which leads us into actually the next episode that Dan created, which is called Just the Facts. And a reporter catches some Slayers doing their Slayer thing, and now suddenly they're still trying to, stay in the closet. And Rowena makes a decision that she's going to wipe this reporter's memory with the spell that Willow had used, that ultimately ended led to her breakup with Tara. And we see this coming around again, that this spell really does no good. It's destroyed her relationship with Tara, and in the end, it's one of the contributing factors as to why her and Rowena have so many issues this year, because Willow's kind of, she's grown up. She realizes that magic has a time and a place, and that, erasing someone's memory is not something that's, should ever be done. And that shows that she has grown up. She has reached that new level. So again, if we look at anything at season three, it really is a matter of growing up. And those growing pains that people go through, and we also had kind of wacky episodes. We had Luna, which and it's amazing the things that will stick. Luna had an army of laser squirrels, and it's I'm not sure who came up with the laser squirrels. I don't know if it was Dan. I'm almost positive Dan is the one that came up with the laser squirrels, but just this villain that is so, later we match her with Harmony, which is perfect, because she is like, she's trying so hard, to be the super villain, but she really is more like Dr. Evil, but less intelligent, if that's even possible. So she really was just a wonderful, fun character to be able to play with. For most of the episodes, this season that I personally did, I did a lot of what I call the filler episodes. They were more of, maybe like a quirky kind of comedy kind of show. Like I did Love's Labor Lost, which was actually kind of like a West Side Story, Romeo and Juliet, kind of comedy that really, in and of itself, it's a standalone episode, but there's so many different things that are in this episode that tie into what happens later in the season. So I did a lot of those filling in spaces. Like another one that I did this season was Skin Deep. This was after Willow and Rowena break up. It's one of those episodes that it's not something that will be monumentally important, but it is one of the cinder blocks that make up the foundation of the season. Without it, it's not going to have the same power overall. So a lot of the episodes that I did this year, for the most part, were those episodes that held the season together. One of the ones that I did write that did, I guess, have more oomph behind it was Roses Are Red. Now, at the end of Luna, we see that Skye is turned into a vampire. She's attacked, and we next episode we when she returns, we get to see this new character named Wagner, who poses first as this teacher at the university that comes to explain why Skye had this memory loss. Now we know who she is. She knows who she is. Here she is. Let us in, which they do. Bonnie does actually, and Bonnie, who was a real estate agent hiding out from the Presidium, who's after her. She's the one that lets her in, which ultimately is ironic because Skye is the one that ends up killing her. But again, all this comes out later in other episodes. But Roses Is Red, in particular, there's a lot of things that happen in this quote unquote filler episode where Skye is uncovered, Faith starts to question her slayerness as a result of not picking up on the fact that Skye was a vampire. We have several character deaths that happen. We have Vi and Xander who, reach a breaking point in their relationship because of what he has to do in order to essentially save her and himself from the spell that they're under. It really, it's one of those episodes that, and I do these a lot, where they start rather slow and they kind of build up and build up and build up, a bit like a roller coaster ride, so that when you get to the top and you start the descent down, that's when your heart goes in your throat, hopefully. So those are the kind of episodes that I love to do, but I don't necessarily have a chance to do them all the time. So, but for this season, this is one of the things that I liked, is that we grew Skye as a character too, because once Skye lost her soul, she had a personality. I mean, she always had one there anyway, but I know that the Skye is the vampire. A lot of people have they really attach themselves to her, which is wonderful. But I'm going to stop here and take a break, and then I will get into part two of the season three recap.